Coming up on the Sarlacc Pit podcast, Mark Newbold of Jedi News and artist Joe Caroni drop by to talk all the news from Celebration Europe 2. We chat Star Wars Rebels, John Williams, Clone Wars, and rumors of Episode 7's code name called Foodles Incorporated. And are we close to seeing Star Wars on ABC television? All that and more on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit podcast, and it starts right now.
Got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Hades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Krenke and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome back, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast. Sarlacc Pit Podcast is here to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit Podcast is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, two great Star Wars websites. So please check them out for all your Star Wars news and collecting. This is episode 66 for August 5th, 2013. I am your co-host, Matt the Crankster Cranky. And joining me in the virtual podcast studio all the way from Memphis, Tennessee, Chris Hoffice Planet Smith. Chris, I know you're feeling under the weather. Hopefully talking some Star Wars will brighten your spirits. How you doing, my friend?
I'm well, considering I'm doing okay. This is episode Order 66.
Is it?
It's 66. Been a while since we've done a show.
Yeah, we've had a little summer break, huh?
Yeah, we kind of couldn't get each other together to do another show. It's been just so hectic for the both of us in the last 2 months.
Hey, but we're coming back with a vengeance here, man. We got a couple of great guests. Like I said, we have a great show planned today, Chris. As we break down some of the news from the last month, including some great stuff from Celebration Europe 2, and who better to have on the show with us today, Chris, than I'm just going to call him the Sarlacc Pit's very own UK correspondent, man, our UK reporter, man. Until he starts his own podcast, we're going to keep having him on here with us. Like I said, fresh off CE2 and Caravan of the Force from JediNews.co.uk, Mark Newbold. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing? You okay?
Good. We're doing great, man. We're looking forward to hearing your exploits and everything that happened at CE2, as well as, like I said, Caravan of the Force. We're going to talk about that in a second here. But last but not least, we wanted to have him back on the show because he also went to CE2, and he joined us in our last show, Chris, the top five overrated characters. We had a good time talking about that. From JoeCaroni.com, artist Joe Caroni. Joe, thanks for coming back on.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
I know you said you were drawing, so it's going to be fun. You're in the zone. You're in the Star Wars zone right now. I like it. I want to start off, guys. Like I said, tons of stuff, tons of little news coming out of Celebration and San Diego and all that kind of stuff for the last month. So we're going to break down some of that today. I wanted to start off with a story that JediNews.co.uk broke, Mark. And this is the rumor that Episode 7 is basically almost underway and under the name Foodles Productions Limited. Like I said, Mark, this came out of Jedi News. Can you kind of enlighten us over here? What's going on with this? Is this kind of along the lines of a Blue Harvest?
Yeah, it seems to be. It was one of our guys on the site, Matt Booker, who came along on the caravan with us. He had an unnamed source who fed him some information that basically said, yeah, pretty much what you've just said, that the production company that's overseeing Episode 7, like Jack was the one for Episode 1 and Blue Harvest for Jedi, is called Foodles, and obviously there's a history behind the name Foodles. Not only is it a Disney food product, it's also the name of a restaurant that was quite close to ILM, the old Kerner place, back in the day. So there's sort of a historical link there. But in terms of production starting, that seemed to be what the inverted commas unnamed source said, that things are close to starting. Now, I don't know whether they mean principal photography. That really wasn't made clear. because obviously you look back at all the previous films, they would have gone to Guatemala to shoot background plates. In episode 3, they went to Switzerland to shoot Alderaan, you know. So there's a lot of stuff that's done pre-main shoot, but nevertheless, it sounds like things are at quite an advanced stage, so that they're ready to sort of leap in as and when. So, yeah, exciting times, and we've hopefully got a little bit more news to come over the next few weeks, so stay tuned.
Yeah, that was an interesting story, and my immediate reaction was Blue Harvest. And Chris, had you heard this rumor yet?
Yeah, actually I did, and I couldn't help but laugh because I thought the name was really funny. But
it is, huh? I mean, yeah.
You know, it's typical Star Wars, and that just means that, hey, things are underway and we're starting to move along.
Yeah. Joe, you know, I remember the days of, I was very young, obviously, and the Blue Harvest thing, and there's no way that they were going to hide this. As soon as, I remember hearing stories about it, as soon as somebody saw that, you know, it's you see Mark Hamill out there, you know, it's not a horror movie beyond imagination. And you know, it's like, I get where they're going with this. They want to try to keep things quiet, but like you guys over in the UK, Mark, and I don't know that they're going to be able to hide this. And Kathleen Kennedy said that they're going to try, you know, they're going to, if things get out, it gets out, no big deal. But this is kind of an interesting story how, even to this day, in the age of all this social media, Joe, that they're still trying to keep a little bit of sense of mystery behind this, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's my understanding, too. I mean, with J.J. Abrams at the helm, there's definitely going to be plenty of secrets that they're going to keep close to the cuff. But also, yeah, I mean, there's going to be stuff that's going to leak out and pictures that are going to come out if fans or news sites want to find it. It's going to be probably that hard. I hope they keep as much of it secret as they can.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of in a weird place because doing some of the artwork for licensing stuff. So I sometimes, like with the prequels, I often got to see stuff way ahead of time anyway. So kind of, you know, it's hard for me to be totally spoiler free anyway. So
right. Well, if you remember what in the prequels. Do you remember seeing like a story idea before anybody else, or was it just characters? Or
well, it was a lot of different things. Okay. I mean, I worked on different projects, so it ranged from anything depending on the project. I mean, working on, for example, episode 2, working on HoloNet News, which was the big multimedia website that kind of it was a viral marketing campaign and as an in-universe Star Wars news site. So I got to do artwork for that website, a lot of artwork, which involved a lot of photos coming out of ILM and Lucasfilm, you know, many, many months before the movie was released or anything was shown to the public. So getting to see images like that, or even on episode 3, I was working with Dark Horse on some projects, so getting to read parts of the script even.
Wow.
It just depends on the project, really. Mm-hmm. You know, but
wow, that's pretty cool. I totally forgot that. Yeah, I mean, as artists, and if you're doing stuff, sometimes you can get access to stuff before it hits the mainstream and all that. So Mark, this, they're talking about filming in Pinewood. How, in relation to where you live, is it close, far? Is it something that you can visit maybe on a day and try to catch them filming?
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I mean, James, who I do the website with, he lives literally 15-20 minutes away, not even that. And Paul Bateman's even closer. So for me, it's about 2 hours. So it's you could certainly do it in the day, because my daytime job is stock taking and I'm driving all over the country anyway. So 2 hours is nothing for me. So. But, it's close enough that I could get down there. And hopefully, obviously, doing stuff for The Insider as well. Fingers crossed, you know, I might have the opportunity to go down and do some stuff for The Insider anyway. So that's nice. The hope.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Before we get into some of the stuff from CE2, there's one other story that hit, I think it was last night. And you guys also reported on it, Mark, on Jedi News. ABC president talked about some Star Wars TV series possibilities. And this came out of the Television Critics Association They had a press junket or whatever you call those things, and IGN was there, and they got some interesting information from the I think it was the president, Pauly, on the possibilities of a Star Wars on ABC. And he said, "I certainly have a glint in my eye. They have a lot on their plate when you look at the features that they're planning on rolling out for the next few years. But we've started conversations with them. It would be nice to use other strong Disney IP besides Once Upon a Time in Wonderland and besides S.H.I.E.L.D. I would love to go there. I'm particularly a fan of Lucasfilm. It's an amazing world." So I'm getting from this quote, guys, that we're going to see Star Wars on TV, and it's going to be probably sooner than we think, Chris. This is exciting news, especially for me, because I've been clamoring for some live-action Star Wars. And even before we got all the news of Episode 7, 8, 9, right? I'm just like, man, I'm ready for some live-action Star Wars. And it sounds like ABC is going to hit this pretty hard. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, it sounds just like they want it, and with this Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I can't wait to see that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, this was kind of a surprise for me to wake up and see this morning, because I was like, what? Because they were like, I thought that all that stuff had been put on the back burner because of the movie, but apparently not. And apparently they're going to move forward and probably be, like you said, anytime soon. It could be about the same time that the movie comes out, or even next fall in 2014, that something, you know, might be hitting the airways, and that could be, I mean, yeah. We're going to have some Star Wars coming, and this is all just so exciting.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like Chris said, I mean, we thought that this series, you know, all these scripts they had made and everything, and they just said, hey, put it on the shelf. It's going to sit there and collect dust for a while. And we get this exciting news, and it's right. I mean, you got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hitting TV. Marvel has never been bigger than it is now. It's just crazy. And I think ABC realizes that, you know, Star Wars could be bigger than all these Marvel things going on. So why not put this thing on TV? And I think, like I said, I'm hearing good things from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So this is a natural progression. I think TV is where it's at. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, Disney buying Star Wars, Disney owning ABC, it's one of the things that must have attracted Lucas to selling to Disney because of all those different media outlets that they've got. So obviously you've got your animation on Disney XD, you've got your live action on ABC, films obviously goes through Disney. So there's all these different outlets that you can push Star Wars to. Disney's a big enough organisation to certainly carry the load better than anybody else could, because obviously one of the worries you've got is a similar thing to the Star Trek situation sort of 15 years ago when they went to the well too many times was the phrase that was used. Mm-hmm. So I think with Star Wars, though, because there's such a brain trust now that you can dip into if you want to, and so many talents that you can step back on and know that they can cope with all the various demands of doing TV and animation and live action and spin-offs and comics and everything else that you want to throw into the pot, I think Star Wars can carry it. Now, like you say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., everyone's jonesing for that like crazy. It's only sort of 6 weeks away. So That's going to tie in nicely to all the Avengers movies. Obviously not the X-Men films, but the Avengers movies. Why not Star Wars? I mean, I know, without naming names, obviously, because I'd get shot, but I know that there's been talks going back quite a while, and not talks related to the previous live-action series, talks relating to future live-action series. So because I think it's easy to... It's easy to consider the live-action show that Rick McCullum was talking about, for example, you know, the Deadwood meets Star Wars one that we were all so excited about, you know, and that got very, very, very close to happening and then didn't because of, I think, budgetary concerns. Mm-hmm. But this is obviously something new. Why not? It's there to be done. I can see them running a couple of shows concurrently. I don't see any reason why not. And if they're smart, then they'll tie into the spin-offs more so than the saga movies, but certainly with the spin-off films.
Yeah, almost like it is. It's like they're taking a page right from Marvel with the movies tying in with this TV show and the comics and all that. I mean, it's almost the same exact thing. You know, it's kind of cool. Joe, Mark said about Star Trek, they went to the well too many times. Do you see that Star Wars, could they fall into this trap of going to the well with the TV, the animated show, and the movies? Or is this, you know, are we ripe for this? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I agree with Mark on a lot of levels, but I'm also torn, too, because, I mean, I don't want to be a stick in the mud, but
yeah.
I think that there is a possibility of sort of diluting the franchise across too many platforms and media. Star Wars on TV is going to happen, and I can't wait for it to happen. But I don't think we're going to get it as fast as you might think we might get it. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to concentrate on the films first and foremost, along with the animation, obviously, because that's already proven successful. But I think we're going to get, it's going to be a few films before we really get anything concrete on television. And I think that's because, you know, they don't want to, you know, these movies are where the money's really going to be at. And these movies are going to have to prove themselves successful first before they just throw Star Wars on TV and start counting the money rolling in. With Disney at the helm too, though, I mean, yeah, they have pretty much unlimited resources, and of course they're going to put Star Wars on television. It's only a matter of time, but I think, kind of what Mark said, they're probably going to tie in maybe more to the spinoff films, or you know, I think they're going to focus on getting that first trilogy really underway, and maybe even getting the first few Star Wars movies out there before we see, you know, a TV show. It could be, I don't know, maybe, we could still be 3 or 4 years off, at least, from Star Wars TV at this point.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking 2016, something like that, after the first episode seven rolls out. And
I mean, I don't see them doing the TV show and the movie concurrently, like, right off the bat. I mean, I think they're going to want to establish the new... the new timeline, the new stories, and I mean, we didn't really get S.H.I.E.L.D. technically until, I mean, yeah, Avengers came out, a couple years ago, and now we're getting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the Marvel Universe has been, you know, they've been spending a long time establishing that on film since, 2008, right. I think, Iron Man, so, I think, we'll get Star Wars TV for sure, but I think it's going to be, we're probably maybe 4 or 5 years off yet before we have something really like that we can really get excited about.
Yeah, no, I definitely a possibility. You're right. I just saw this and I thought, you know what he says, I certainly have a glint in my eye, and that's kind of like a wink, wink, like, yeah, you're going to get Star Wars TV and we'll see how long it takes.
Matt, I think Joe said it, I think, perfectly there, that, a TV show will be tying into the spinoff movies. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you had to say one of the spinoff movies come out, just like you said with the Marvel. They spent plenty of time setting up all of the Marvel movies to get to Avengers and now to get to a TV show. So I don't, you know, the sequel trilogy to me doesn't need any setup or any television show to do anything with it. Mm-hmm. Spinoff movies, even the two of them together could be a benefit to each other.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And that's kind of where they're going with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, that it's kind of, they're not going to feature any obvious, any prominent characters that as far as I know. And it's just going to kind of loosely tie into some of the other Marvel stuff going on. Is that what you get, Joe, as far as that particular show?
Yeah, I mean... From what I've been following on the intrawebs with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think it's loosely going to tie in to major characters or major plot points from the Marvel movies. It's going to be its own thing, but we're still going to get. Obviously it's in the same continuity, but I don't think they're going to rely too heavily on characters and storylines from the previous films. I mean, we've got totally new characters and other, you know, Agent Coulson, and then you've got, you know, appearances by, you know, some of the other S.H.I.E.L.D. actors, I'm sure, like Samuel Jackson, I think. But I could see Star Wars TV working very similarly. I mean, Disney's already said they're going to use, I mean, back when they acquired the Star Wars franchise, they made it clear that they're going to use the Marvel template to basically, it works so great for them on Marvel, so they're probably going to use the same template for Star Wars.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, let's get into some Celebration 2 news now. Mark, I want to start off with you, some of your thoughts and feelings on Celebration Europe. And I want to start with actually your fundraising event, Caravan of the Force, a fundraiser for Make-A-Wish Foundation, if I'm not mistaken. How did that, I mean, it seems like it went off pretty good. How was it for you?
It went brilliantly well, yeah. We were really surprised how well it went, actually, because you kind of wait for the bump, and it didn't quite come, which was good. So nice. we started talking about that back at the evening after Celebration 6. It was me and James and Matt Booker, who I mentioned earlier, and Paul Bateman and Athena and a guy called Dan Curto. And we were all sitting in the foyer, the lobby of the suites we were staying at, and thought, well, what are we going to do for Celebration Europe? Because obviously Celebration coming back to Europe was a big deal. For us, especially being over here, and just over the course of about 15-20 minutes, the idea of doing a caravan, a van trip, like a road trip, came about. But really, it took until about 2 weeks before we actually set out to get everything in place. You know, getting the sponsors together was a real challenge, and hats off to James for doing the majority of that. He really did a great job. But just getting all the other various little bits and bobs together was a hard slog. And Lucasfilm were brilliant, helped us at every step, which was fantastic. And we got ready to launch on the 19th from the UK.
And you got and as far as donations, people can still help out with this Caravan of Force. It's not over yet, right?
Oh no, it's not over by a long shot. No, we've set a target of £5,000 for the year. Mm-hmm. We're almost at 50% with the trip that we did over to Essen, which is pretty good going. So we've still got a way to go. So we've got some various auctions that we're going to be doing to help raise the rest of the money, some special stuff. I don't want to say too much because we're going to announce it on Jedi News, okay. But we are already... one of the things we did on the Friday when we launched was we helped launch the Black Series in the UK at Brent Cross with Toys R Us, and we got some limited edition cards that you can only get at that event that they're going on eBay very, very soon. So there's some patches, some of the Jedi News patches, which are really nicely done. So, you know, there's various bits. The Caravan of the Force T-shirts, which we actually had made for the crew, but we've got a few that we didn't use, so we're going to auction some of those off. So, and a few other bits that we can talk about when we come to announce it. But, yeah, it was a brilliant trip. You know, we went through France and Belgium, Holland, into Germany, and, yeah.
And you had to cruise around. And you got to cruise around with the original Boba Fett. Hey.
I know, such hard work. Yeah. No, it was fantastic. And Maureen, just like a new she would, kept us all in line. So, nice. Yeah, it was really, really good. Do it again in a heartbeat.
That's great. Yeah. And for all the news, like I said, follow jedinews.co.uk. There'll be some more news following. Joe, is this the first time you've been at a celebration outside of the U.S.?
No, I was at a Celebration Europe 1 London in 2007.
Okay. How did this celebration compare to that one? Is it bigger?
Well, I think it seemed like it was in terms of attendance, that it was a little bit larger. Overall, I mean, yeah, it was definitely an awesome experience, and it's hard to compare the two. I had so much fun in both places. Without getting into semantics or anything, overall it was a really good experience. I'm like really glad I went, and the fans were amazing. There wasn't really much of a language barrier at all, like right. I thought there would be. Uh-huh. It was pretty cool to be there and to be a part of it, and to see like everyone just be, you know, all the European fans just as excited about Star Wars as the American fans. I mean, Star Wars really is universal, so you just have to go to Celebration Europe, and it's like, it's so obvious when you see it.
Yeah. I Mark was on, he's been on, Mark, you've been on TV shows and news shows in the morning already promoting some of the stuff coming out, like as far as episode 7, 8, 9, and it's just like, I was fascinated by that, like, because you don't really see that over here, someone going on a news program and talking about what's coming up for Star Wars. So yeah, definitely Europe is big. And Joe, your art print, The Slave Princess, did well over there?
Yeah. I didn't have a sellout, but I don't think any of the artists actually sold out of their prints at the event. I sold a really fair number of them for sure, but I came back with a bunch, so I've been selling them privately, publicly actually, through Facebook and my website. But yeah, I mean, sales were pretty good over there. A lot of the artists did pretty well. I think it's a different market, I think, with the European fan base, whereas the American market, you know, we do prints here at the U.S. celebrations, and, you know, they sell out really quick. I think it's just a different kind of collector's market for art prints.
Right.
It could be an economy thing, too, but I think it has to do with just... you know, a lot of our artist prints were fairly large posters, and they're not necessarily cheap either. So,
right.
They are for, you know, definitely for serious collectors. So,
well, we talked about it. You were on our last show, and we talked about the print, and you actually brought some back, some very special prints back. If I remember reading right on your Twitter, is it something that you can talk about now? Or as far
oh,
as
yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, well, at the event, Mark wasn't the only one that got to hang out with Jeremy Bullock at a celebration. So Jeremy gets around. So, no, he's a great guy, him and Maureen, his wife. I got to every convention. I've done so many shows with Jeremy over the years. I mean, we've done shows where it was just me and Jeremy at some small little comic convention in West Virginia, and, like, no one showed up, you know, so... we've been in the trenches together for a while. So, I ran into him at Celebration Europe, of course, and we got to talking about my new print, which features Boba Fett along with Slave Leia. And, he just offered to sign some. And he wanted some prints for himself that he could give away or you know, maybe give to charity or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we just basically did a trade, and I was like, yeah, sure, of course. So he signed some of my other prints in the past at other Star Wars events. We did a little impromptu signing at the hotel, and Jeremy Bullock autographed 10 of my Slave Princess prints.
Nice.
And I'm currently offering those right now online to collectors. I'm just basically taking offers. I have about 10 of these prints, and before I put them up on eBay, I figured, hey, you know, I'll reach out to my fans and basically take offers from collectors online. And I've got a few offers already, so I'll probably end up selling some of these pretty quickly, and then if I have any left in a week, I might throw them up on eBay.
Oh, great. Yeah, that was, I saw the pictures, and it's always cool to have the Boba Fett sign something. He signed a picture of mine that I have on the wall, so that's cool. And you said you had 10 of them, right?
Yeah, well, technically, I think I have 11 to sell. I think he signed 11 of them, but I might keep one for myself.
Oh, you got to.
Boba Fett signed my print, so, you know.
Yeah, you got to keep one for yourself.
Yeah, I got to keep one for myself, so, of course, so. It was really cool that Jeremy signed those prints, and hopefully some fans will take notice. And like I said, I got a few offers on some already, so I'm definitely going to sell a handful of them, and we'll see how it goes the rest of the week.
Cool. So you guys were there. You guys were in the middle of Celebration Europe, too. And let's talk about the first thing, not necessarily in any particular order, but... Kathleen Kennedy had a panel. I don't know if either one of you got to see it, but in that panel, she talked about how John Williams is set to score Episode 7. And Mark, maybe you can kind of enlighten me, because I've been hearing like two different reports. He's doing 7, and they said he's doing the whole sequel trilogy. Yeah. As of now, do we know exactly what's going on?
Well, I was there, luckily. I was very fortunate. I was sat directly behind Dave Filoni. Couldn't believe that. I never met the guy, and I was sat behind him, so that was quite cool. On stage, when Kathy was talking, she said, John Williams is doing the soundtrack to episodes 7, 8, and 9, and of course, the roof came off the place.
Yeah.
Apparently, Star Wars blog were live blogging and made a very quick change to change it to just episode 7. So obviously she let something out the bag there that she probably shouldn't have done. In the room, we understand, she said, well, she did. She said 7, 8, and 9. But obviously Because obviously that would have been the very first news we would have anybody would have got about episodes 8 and 9. There's nothing we know about 8 and 9 other than they're coming out. We don't know who's directing them, who's writing them, nothing. Mm-hmm. So that would have been the first official news about 8 and 9. So obviously Lucasfilm did a little backtrack, but for those of us who were in the room, and it was a packed room, as was the Rebels panel, which was straight after, she said 7, 8, and 9. So make of that what you will. She either made a little snafu and said something that she didn't mean to say, or yeah. She let something out the bag that she shouldn't have said. It's one way or the other, but whichever way, you know, I'm certain that he'll do all three. So he should. It's John Williams. He's the master. He's the maestro, isn't he? So.
Oh yeah, I was so happy to hear. And here's a quick snippet of what he had to say about getting called to score episode 7.
I've loved doing the Star Wars films with all the fanfares and flourish and the galaxy far, far away. I actually feel like I'm still in it. That I've never really left it. You know, having worked on all of the 6 films, I'm just happy to be continuing to be part of the whole fun of doing it. Of course, I haven't seen the script, but the story is still unknown to me, the new story. But I can't imagine that there will not be some references to the existing stories that we know that would necessitate and make appropriate the use of some of the earlier themes, which actually for me has been part of the fun of doing film after film, because in each case I've been able to use the earlier material and develop new material that would coexist with it and hopefully feel like a part of the fabric of the film. Since I don't know the story, I have to tell you and confess to you that I would always prefer not to read scripts and even not to hear stories and look at cue cards and so on, and wait for the moment of discovery with the audience of the film itself. So I'm as surprised as they are and I know where to put the surprise button, you know, having not been prepared by a script.
So I love what he's saying here. Chris, I'll get your take first. He talks about, of course, the story is unknown to him. They're still writing the darn thing, so of course. And he talked about working off of earlier themes, which, of course, we want to see that. I mean, we want to hear the Force theme again and some of these other iconic themes that we've heard in Star Wars. But we kind of knew this was inevitable, right? John Williams scoring the episode 7. We finally got confirmation. What are your thoughts, Chris? It's good stuff, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we lost Chris. All right. Let me do this. I'm going to throw it to you. Throw it to you, Joe, this time. I love what he's saying about he's going to score as he's watching. I never knew this. Like, this was news to me that he actually watches it like anybody else and experiences the surprises as he's going along, and that's how he kind of, scores the movie. That's pretty awesome. I mean, that's something that, like I said, it was totally new to me. I didn't know that. I figured he'd watch the movie, then he'd sit down and write. He actually scores it as he's watching. That's pretty interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that actually makes a lot of sense, because you're going to, I think, as an artist, obviously, John Williams is an artist, as a musician, as you're creating, you want the... You know, you want your artwork to be as pure as possible. A lot of that comes from, your reactions, your emotions. So if he's watching the movie and sort of basically going with his gut and with his first impression on what he's seen and writing music and creating as he's watching it for the first time, I think you're going to get more of a pure kind of more of a vision that's more true probably to as opposed to something that's, you know, been analyzed and deciphered and over criticized, you know, watching and picking apart and thinking about it too much. It's just like drawing or painting, you know. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's some preparation involved, of course, but, at the same time, you just want to let it flow. So it sounds like that's exactly what he's doing, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of refining that goes in once he's writing that music from his first impressions. I'm sure he goes back and probably, you know, refine some things here and there too. So.
Yeah, Mark, what do you think? I mean, like I said, I just love the fact that he gets to watch it and he's surprised, and he goes, "Oh, there's a surprise there. I got to put maybe this certain music at that point." and kind of going off of that, that's pretty interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's like Joe says, you know, you can overthink these things. And I think Williams, this has probably been his MO since, since forever. That's probably how he scores films. But I think he's going for the emotion rather than, you know, what you physically see. It's easy to react to things on the screen, then you're second-guessing yourself then. So, and obviously he's got to go in and do his music edits, and he's got to time it, and all that stuff's got to be done, you know, that's for him to do. But nevertheless, I think, yeah, he probably comes up with the themes. You know, you look back at the original Star Wars, you know, Star Wars album and Empire and Jedi, especially, you know, there's concert versions of the songs, you know, this is the Imperial March. It's not written to fit anything that's on the screen, but this is the Imperial March, for example. That's probably how he works his stuff out and then refines it to fit what's on the screen. So he's going in with that emotion, with you know, the vibe that he wants, and then he tailors it to fit what's been edited and sort of produced by all the other guys. So I think that's how it works for him. And, you know, we're the ones that benefit. I've probably played more John Williams music in my life than pretty much any other musician. So, you know, yeah.
Chris, you had stepped out for a second, and we were talking about John Williams here, and he talked about in this little clip how he was going to use, obviously, earlier themes. We all want to see that. We want to hear the Force theme again and stuff, the iconic themes that we're so used to. What do you think, Chris? This is not necessarily big news, or we kind of figured this was coming, but still, it's good to know, right?
Yeah, to me, it was one of those things where it was like, duh, but then it was like a relief because it was like, ah, good. That's exactly what we expected. But, and you know, I actually did know that that's how he did the movies.
Oh, you did? Okay, I didn't know that.
Heard that. It's been quite a while, but I don't remember where I got it. But I did realize that. Well, also, if you watch that awesome documentary, Empire of Dreams, when George is talking about him scoring it for the very first time, and he's sitting there in the room with John Williams, and he's showing him certain footage and saying, I want this type of feel here to... He's explaining to him, going through various things of what he wants, and then John goes back and does it. And then they made the point of saying that it took 12 days to score the original Star Wars. And so you can just imagine sitting in that room that they show with the whole orchestra in the room over a 12-day period, scoring over and over again, and John making little tweaks here and there and whatnot, and also it goes to show it how talented he is. That remember when they did the, when they were doing the tour of the live, what was it called, you know, where you'd go sit down and you'd see the orchestra playing to music and stuff, that he sent it, the footage to him and everything when it was finished for his approval, any changes, and he came back with like two or three little small minor changes, put this note on this and whatnot, and they said, well, of course, it worked out better that way. So, you know, I mean, he's a genius at what he does. He knows he knows the music, and yeah, I can't wait, because you know you're going to have these little subtle hints from past bringing us into this along with new stuff. So, I mean, I'm jazzed.
Oh, yeah. 'Cause,
I mean, you can't do this without anybody else.
I know, it just wouldn't seem right, right? You got to have Williams back. I mean, we're even getting some of the older guys like Kasdan coming back to help out, so it's kind of like getting the gang back together, so I'm really excited about that. We got some other stuff, too. Star Wars Rebels, guys. Rebels, Filoni had a panel, and we've got some reveals about the logo and a couple of artists, or not artists, but a couple pieces of art that came out showing what we could see. Now, Joe, I'm going to kick this to you first, since you're the artist on the show here, and you use your expertise here. We got a couple of, like I said, pictures of what we might see, and it looked like, I mean, the TIE fighter that they showed looked like, you know, came out of Episode 4 almost, you know, and the Star Destroyer, I mean, it looks pretty much almost the same as we saw. So it's kind of making me think, wow, this is going to kind of steer toward the latter part of this 1920 year period. As an artist, when you look at these, is this what we're gonna see, or as far as the animation goes, or are we like way off here? What do you think?
Well,
from the page to the screen, I mean, you think that's what it's gonna look like?
Yeah, I mean, with concept art, you never really can tell how much of it's really gonna translate to screen directly. I mean, obviously, with the Star Wars films, there was even with Ralph McQuarrie's stuff, there was a lot of stuff that changed design wise, you know, either in small ways or much greater ways. So I mean, I think what they're probably showing, or what the little tidbits they're feeding us now, I think they're showing us what they're probably confident with. So my guess is that, yeah, I mean, we're probably going to see these designs translate fairly accurately to the screen. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be releasing these particular designs right now. There's probably other concept art that isn't going to translate, that they're, you know, obviously they're not going to get people psyched up about that. So I think the TIE fighters, they did look really close. They kind of looked like proto TIE fighters, like a little slightly different. Maybe I'm reading into it. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely, I think the ship designs are going to be very faithful to episode 4. But at the same time, this is also pre episode 4. So they're going to want to give the fans something new to work with. And I think we're going to see, just like how the prequels bridge the gap between the original trilogy with some of these more conceptual designs that sort of led into the OT, we're going to get some new designs that are going to lead into episode 4 that are going to bridge the gap. And they may not be entirely, you know, as identifiable as the ones we're familiar with, but I think they're going to be pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mark, there was also a story about, they were talking about this photo, or they showed the picture of the TIE fighters, and then it was kind of a multi-panel where it crashed. And some of the rumors now, and it makes a lot of sense, that they're talking about Rebels and the creation of the Rebel Alliance. And in episode 4, they talked about Dantooine, and now the discussion went, you know, hey, this could be Dantooine we're seeing here, and the initial startup of the Rebel Alliance. What do you make of those rumors? I mean, that's plausible, right?
Yeah, very plausible. I'm actually wearing my Rebels t-shirts at the moment. Funny
enough. Oh, nice. So
these are very pertinent conversation. Anything's on the table, isn't it? I mean, they've not talked about story in any great degree. One of the things, because we were blogging on the Jedi News Twitter feed, and one of the things that Filoni said was he kind of teased the audience in saying that it's not that far before Star Wars, but then when somebody asked him the direct question, he kind of backtracked a little bit. So yeah, really, we don't know where they're pitching in that sort of 19-year period. Mm-hmm. And the TIE fighters, I know they're very influenced by McQuarrie. One of the things that was said also in the panel was that Dave kind of said, well, if Ralph drew it in this way, but you saw the TIE fighter in the film in another way, we're probably going to steer more towards the Ralph look. So they certainly seem to want to go with the McQuarrie vibe, which is fine with me. You know, he sort of originated most of the look of Star Wars anyway. And it also works in terms of giving those familiar vehicles a sort of a retcon twist. So the Dantooine idea works very well, actually. Yeah, I think you've only seen Dantooine a few times. I know one of the galaxies in Star Wars Galaxies, you saw Dantooine a little bit, but there's not been too much happened there. So that could certainly fit, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a cool idea. I just kind of getting the upstart Rebel Alliance and you know, it could tie in. This could tie in to the movies when, you know, Leia says Dantooine, she's trying to throw them off. She knows that they've been gone from there for a while. So all that kind of makes a lot of sense. Chris, we also got a look at a new ship, the star vehicle of the show, apparently, called the Ghost. And it definitely has some reminiscence of a Millennium Falcon or the Outrider from Dash Rendar's ship. What do you think of this new ship, the Ghost?
I thought it was all looked really cool. I was a little disappointed, but not surprised, so to speak, because I didn't really know what to expect. I was hoping to see like a little piece of footage or something, but that's obviously too early for that. Yeah. And I don't know, the logo looks cool. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited. I mean, to see something new in a new cartoon, I like the feel of it. It does seem to be like it's geared more towards Ralph McQuarrie at this point. And if that's the road that they go, I would be super ecstatic. I didn't hear that about the Dantooine, but that would be something else to start it off at that point. and we can see what happened, why they ended up leaving Dantooine for Yavin and whatnot. So, yeah, and maybe later on, who knows, maybe we'll get a little bit in between Poor and Bob or whatever to see how they went from, you know, after they left Yavin and got going to and whatnot. And all that kind of stuff. So,
looking at these photos of the Star Destroyers, I'm just like, wow, I mean, it looks so close, and it just makes me think that they're going to skew towards the end of that timeline, but we'll see. I mean, we even got shots of Stormtroopers, guys, and they're fairly close, obviously a little different, but if this is what it's going to look like, I mean, wow, it's going to look really, really cool. A lot, I don't know if realistic is the right word, Joe, but it looks like it's going to be a lot different than we saw from the Clone Wars series. And but you know, who knows? I mean, like you said, these are just concept drawings. But if this is anywhere close, I'm excited about that.
To me, it's got more of a retro feel with it having Macquarie in it. To me,
yeah, oh yeah, yeah. That's what I'm excited about that.
I think they'd be smart to kind of almost in a way change up maybe even the style of the animation a little bit. I mean, just to. In one way, I kind of want to see that Clone Wars style carry over because they really have put so much into it. But you know, maybe this new version will be sort of the next stage of that. Maybe I think we're going to get more detailed animation. I mean, by season 5 of Clone Wars, the detail was really just insane, and the lighting effects and the special effects and just, I mean. I'd like to see them push that further, obviously, and I'm sure they will, but I also wouldn't mind seeing the animation style sort of change a little bit, too, just to make the show feel you know, so Star Wars animation now does sort of have like a, it has its own voice now, and it has its own style, which is really unique from pretty much any other animation that's out there, I think. I mean, it's kind of a, its own hybrid of anime and traditional American animation. So, but I'd like to see, I mean, we haven't seen too many, I mean, I don't think we've seen any character models yet really for Rebels yet, so
yeah,
it'll be interesting
right.
to see how they develop their animation for this new show. I'm excited.
Yeah, you're talking about just character models as far as like how they portray a human or whatever.
Right.
I've heard somewhere actually that do you remember the Disney film Tangled?
Yeah.
That came out about 3 years ago. Filoni actually mentioned that on stage, if I remember correctly, he mentioned that on stage. And it has been mentioned before that that might be some kind of influence on the animation style of the main characters. So I think if you go and look at Tangled, which is a cracking film anyway, that might be some kind of hint to what the animation of the characters is going to look like. So
yeah, that makes sense. Disney, yeah, wow. That was actually a great movie too.
It was.
Anything else? Did you say you were at the panel there, Mark, or you just kind of?
Yeah.
Okay. Did I miss anything there? Is anything we missed as far as announcements? As far as that Rebels?
No. That you pretty much covers it. They announced the logo, which looks very much like the Rebel Force logo without wanting to name a competing podcast. obviously the ghost of that was mentioned, and the T-shirts in the foyer. But no, that was pretty much it. I think the show launches September next year. So and Filoni said that there wasn't any footage that they could show because I don't think they'd even got to anything more than very basic sort of previous stuff. So I don't think there was anything they could really show. But he did show quite a few sketches, as you say.
Yeah.
One of the questions actually on that subject was a lot of people were saying, will there be continuing storylines from the Clone Wars? Like to know ultimately what happens to obviously Ahsoka and so on and so forth, but not just her, there's other characters. And all that Filoni would say about that was that, you know, he worked on the Clone Wars for 5 years of the series, 8 years of his career, and those characters were very close and dear to him. And without saying yes, you will get some kind of resolution, he all but said yes, you will get some kind of resolution. So there are going to be some sort of, you know, sort of links between the two series. Nothing overt, but I think you might just find out a little bit about what happened to some of the most, you know, the key characters. So
yeah, that would be interesting.
It's very cool.
Yeah, Joe, what do you think? I mean, that sounds pretty interesting. I, one I, thing I, was, I think, yeah. Go ahead.
I mean, I think I don't know if I'm giving too much away here, and I don't want to step on Mark's toes or anything, but I think a group of us were kind of sort of just in our own little fan way, sort of hypothesizing the potential of those unresolved storylines and those unresolved characters from Clone Wars that we could possibly. You know, maybe get with Rebels. You know, I mean, just imagine the possibility of, you know, of Ahsoka turning up in Rebels, and you know, obviously Anakin has already become Darth Vader, and we still don't know Ahsoka's fate. So, you know, I mean, there's so much potential there for story, you know, to sort of not only resolve a huge character from the Clone Wars, but also, you know, do something fresh. And something really unique with a storyline for Star Wars Rebels too. So, these are just us kind of, I think, as fans, you know, thinking about this maybe too much. But you know, who knows? It's a possibility.
Never think about it too much.
You don't think about it enough, I think.
Hey, no, that is what's so exciting about why I'm so pumped about this series is, and what Mark said, that. I mean, look at all this stuff. I mean, you got all these character lines that came out of the Clone Wars. Ahsoka, Rex, Asajj, Boba, Cad Bane. I mean, to see them, if they were to come back in this new style of animation and get some more input or resolution, that would be amazing, you know.
It is. Especially, who's to say that Asajj isn't still around when Rebels starts off? So, you know, maybe they will finally, you know, resolve that character in some way. So the same with Ahsoka or Rex or, you know, whoever is left over from the Clone Wars.
Well, you mentioned Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. earlier, you know, and I read a thing with Joss Whedon today saying that he doesn't want to use up all his favors for Avengers 2, but if he can have, you know, Thor turn up for a quick cameo moment or whoever turn up, you know, they're going to be like superstars turning up in that universe because they kind of are superstars. You know, if Iron Man turns up at S.H.I.E.L.D.'s headquarters, people are going to go, wow, it's Iron Man. So, but like you say, you imagine halfway through season one of Rebels and Cad Bane suddenly turns out to be the bad guy, or Ahsoka turns up in some weird way that you just don't see coming. It will be, blimey, we're talking about it now, we'll be absolutely geeking out like crazy if she turns up. So they've got a lot of aces in the hole that they can use if they want to use.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's exactly great point of the aces in the hole. The story ideas that you can pull. I mean, wow. And these can just be, obviously there's probably a bigger story arc with the creation of the Rebels, but all these underlying plot threads we have out there that they can hit along the way. And the ultimate would be seeing Vader, you know, have to deal with Ahsoka or vice versa. Wow. I mean, that's, you talk about huge. I mean, that could rival, you know, movie type stuff. I mean, as far as story terms, I mean, this is, you know, talking about Vader and one of the biggest characters to come out of the Clone Wars, Ahsoka. I mean, that's huge. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I was just going to say they spent the last 5 years developing that relationship between Anakin and Ahsoka. It was the central crux of the Clone Wars story.
Right.
So, you know, they can't just leave that hanging. I mean, my money is on Filoni and Lucasfilm Animation going, you know what, let's give the fans what they want. Let's have the final battle. You know, let's see Vader, you know, let's see Ahsoka confront Vader. You know, let's see that play out. And you know it's not going to end well for Ahsoka, but if that happens, but at least we, you know, they're going to, if they do it, at least we'll get that, you know, that resolution we've always wanted.
Yeah, I definitely would love to see a resolution now that George Lucas really doesn't have control of it anymore. I don't think we're going to see anybody inputting Ahsoka into the original trilogy in the background somewhere, anything like that, but God, that'd be fun. That'd be so cool. I can just imagine Chris.
I'm sitting here when you're talking about it. I'm thinking, what about Rex?
Like I said, Rex.
What does he do with the Order 66? Does he turn over to the Empire? Does he remain and be Vader's right-hand man? You know, or does he go with Ahsoka or whatever? You know?
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know, possibilities right there for Rex, and it'd be interesting. I mean, heck, Rex might be the one hunting down Ahsoka. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, they can go as the story possibilities are endless. And speaking of the Clone Wars, they also announced at CE2 that the complete series is coming out, of course, in Blu-ray and DVD, and a cool cover with Obi-Wan on the Blu-ray in his, I guess, Mandalorian gear. And different price points, obviously. But I think the thing that kind of worried, not worried me, but I was just kind of like, wow, this is getting interesting about this bonus content, guys. And they talked about how there would be no bonus content on any of these releases as far as the season 5 or the complete series. And then they also mentioned that, you know, we still have no idea what we're going to do with this extra footage, these bonus content. And some of it will probably not even be finished. It'll be, you know, animatics or whatever it is. So I started to get a little concerned, Mark, that, you know, are we not going to see this at all? What do you think? I mean, is that a possibility?
I think personally that, and I'd be amazed if it didn't happen, I think you will get another Blu-ray set. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just refer to season 6 as bonus content. I think from a marketing point of view, they'd be insane just to throw it away as bonus content. They could do something with it. I know, like you just said, they're probably not going to spend any more money finishing it in that, you know, into the level that the other Clone Wars episodes were finished. But I think personally, and I don't know, but I think mm-hmm. that you probably will get it'll be a truncated Blu-ray or DVD release mm-hmm. with, is it 10 episodes, 12 episodes, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's what we heard, yeah.
Yeah, I think they'd be nuts not to do that if they just throw that away. You know, it's a bit like, Detours, you know. I mean, something's going to happen with Detours. Detours will show up soon enough.
Right.
It's just not the right time at the moment. But can you imagine, you know, however many episodes they made of that, 60-odd episodes or something, you know, just sitting on the shelf, never getting seen at whatever they cost per episode. You know, it'll come out, and I think these will come out. But I do think that it'll probably be a standalone Blu-ray box. And if they're smart, they'll call it Season 6. So that's my opinion.
That's yeah, you know, they did talk about 10 episodes, and you're right. I kind of forgot about that, 10 to 11 episodes or whatever it's going to be. I just wonder, like, you know, does this new Rebel series and the possibility of having these Clone Wars characters filter into that new Rebel series, and maybe there's already story elements, obviously there is, that they've talked about in this Clone Wars bonus content. I don't know. I just kind of wondering, you know, does it not match with what they want to do later on in the Rebel series, or is it just they're just taking their time? I don't know. I saw this news, and I'm thinking a part of me is kind of Debbie Downer going, maybe we won't see this at all. I don't know. But Joe, you think as far as the story elements go, stuff that they've already kind of shot out with this bonus content, maybe like we've talked about, they're going to have these characters come into the Rebel series. Is that a possibility at all, that maybe it's conflicting maybe or something like that? No?
I mean, I think we are going to see some carryover from Clone Wars into Rebels. I mean, it's you've got the same, you've got the same people, you know, Rebels that you had, that the same exact crew that made Rebels that made Clone Wars is working on Rebels. So, I mean, yeah, it's not far fetched to imagine that we're gonna get some carryover or some callbacks back to the Clone Wars. They'd be, you know, I mean, Star Wars, the thing that works about one of the greatest things about Star Wars that makes it work so well is that they really do have, they do make it feel cohesive, like one larger story of mythology. They don't just, it's not like other, like some comic book series or other film series where they kind of jump around and there's the continuities all over the place. Mm-hmm. With Star Wars, they do a fairly good job of keeping it all together and making things fit and calling back to other stories and other characters. So I think that's one of the key success points of the franchise, and they'd be smart to do that with the new series as well.
Yeah, I remember watching the season finale of the Clone Wars, and when I watched it, and it had the different ending and the way Ahsoka went, I remember watching it and sitting down, and I turned to my wife and I said, "Hey, I think we just saw the last episode of the Clone Wars. Just the whole feel was like obviously way different." And sure enough, it was. Chris. So that's kind of making me kind of think a little bit, man, are we ever going to see this? Because, I mean, they've been talking about this for a while, and there's still not even a clue of what they want to do with it. But I do like what Mark is saying, that, you know what, just come out with, here's season 6, Blu-ray, and it's 10 episodes, and here you go. And I supposedly it's supposed to be in the same timeline, so that could still work. What do you think about a season 6 Blu-ray DVD for this bonus content?
Yeah, you know, I really like that idea, and I think that, like you said, they'd be crazy not to do it. But the only other thing to me that could be a possibility is if they plan to bring these characters into Rebels, mm-hmm. to finish it out, like, say, Ahsoka, Rex, Cad Bane. That could be the only other option, I would think, other than putting this out there and getting it out. I mean, all of us geeks are going to go run out there and buy this thing because we want to know what happens.
Yeah.
If they put it out as a season 6. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think it could be really cool if they just decide, okay, well, we can tie it up in the Star Wars Rebels early on and not worry about it. Maybe, mm-hmm. you know, maybe that's it.
I honestly don't think it's a matter of if we're ever going to see these unaired episodes. I think it's more of a matter of when. Right. I think a lot of it has to do with Lucasfilm now being owned by Disney, and those episodes were created under, you know, the Cartoon Network banner. There's still a lot of legalities and stuff to sort out, I think, which is sort of what's keeping this bonus, quote-unquote bonus content, from being released. I think it's just a matter of basically negotiations and happening quick enough so that things can get, you know, rights can get transferred over from mm-hmm. from certain networks to other networks, and you know, with Cartoon Network formally having the Clone Wars and now Lucasfilm owning Disney. So I think it's just a matter of when. I mean, we will see it, but I think some of the contractual obligations just have to still be ironed out first.
Okay. I think you've got there's a good chance it'll. I think it might end up being shown on .com for the first time. It's probably where they'll show it. So.
Really? Yeah. Like StarWars.com or something?
Yeah.
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 Well, it's, again, still up in the air. They're still trying to figure out how they want to do this. And there was so many things in the fire. Like, I think it was you saying earlier, Joe, how much stuff they got going on right now. This is just one of those things that's on the bottom of the priority pile right now with all this other stuff coming out. What else is going on in Celebration Europe 2? What did I miss? Obviously, we'll talk about the next Celebration. Any more big reveals, Mark, that you can remember coming out of Celebration?
You put me on the spot now.
I know.
No,
I'm sure you're
really
busy.
I mean, yeah, well, it was crazy busy. Not really, no. I mean, I think people were expecting more reveals at Celebration than we got. Obviously, we got John Williams, we got the Rebels logo and some of the visuals there.
Right.
Obviously, Kathleen being there was fantastic. But pre-show, there was rumours of Harrison Ford turning up. There was rumours of them announcing the big three would be doing the Episode 7. Rumours that they'd announce Anthony Daniels playing 3PO and all these different things. And none of those things came to pass. So, of course, D23 is around the corner, so I would imagine quite a few of those things could possibly be announced there. But in terms of big reveals, no. Not that diminished from the event at all. I mean, there are 20,000 people through the door, so, you know, it did fantastically well and better than expected. I think traditionally in Germany, people tend to turn up quite late and buy their tickets quite late, whereas at Celebration Europe, I think Celebration Europe had 38,000 people through the door. But, you know, crazy numbers, but a lot of those tickets were in advance, and then there was a late rush, you know, where another quite a few thousand turned up quite late. So, yeah, it's different vibe. But in terms of reveals, yeah, it wasn't as reveal heavy as it might have been.
That's the thing I thought. I thought, you know, Celebration 2, you know, we have all the news about all this new stuff coming out, and yeah, like you said, we really didn't get a lot. I myself was expecting to get more out of Celebration 2 Europe. But, you know, like I said, we still got all these. It's just crazy to me to think, Joe, and you can comment on this, that if they stay with the model of releasing Episode 7 in May, let's just say that, we are less than 2 years away and we still have no idea who's going to be in it, what the story is. You know, they haven't done any filming, and it's just it's kind of weird because you think back to the prequels, and at this point in the prequels, I mean, they already had all kinds of stuff going. I mean, and stuff that we knew about. I mean, filming was already taking place, and I think obviously that's just the maturation of the filming process, and they're able to do things a lot quicker now. But it's just crazy, Joe, to think that we're less than 2 years away, and we still have really no idea what's going on, right?
I want to be careful on how I comment on this because I don't want to.
Maybe you know more then.
No, I mean, not really. I mean, I probably know as much as Mark does at this point.
You know, far more than Major.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, let's just say I'll be really surprised, and maybe Mark will agree with me that this movie's going to come out in 2015. And I mean, maybe it will. Maybe they've got their act together more than we think we do. Hmm. But, you know, one of the things that made me question this, though, was the fact that, okay, well, they're going to do Celebration 7 in Anaheim. They're moving it from Orlando to Anaheim, right, which is obviously a lot closer to Hollywood, and it's in California. Mm-hmm. And they moved the date from usually they've been having these celebrations in August the last, you know, or July the last two or three of them, and now they moved it back to April in Anaheim for 2015. Mm-hmm. Which is only technically a month before the new Star Wars movie will probably be released, which makes sense, you know, obviously that, oh, okay, you know, let's have it. That's how they did it with Celebrations 1, 2, and 3, is they have a celebration right before the new movie comes out to really just, you know, to build up that hype and really let the fans go nuts. But, you know, I'm still unconvinced that they're going to have the movie ready by 2015. I mean, they've only said that date technically once, and that was right at the beginning when they announced the purchase of Lucasfilm, when Disney bought Lucasfilm, and they announced that initial slate, like, okay, here's our battle plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't really heard 2015 bandied about recently in quite a while, you know, so maybe at Celebration 7 we'll get the first trailer for Episode 7, but I mean, I'm thinking they haven't, you know, they still haven't ironed out the story yet. I mean, they're still working out some kinks there. So I don't know. I'm worried they're not going to want to rush it. They're not going to want to rush Episode 7 out there. They don't, you know, we are only 2 years away and they really don't have any announcements yet. So I'm thinking it's going to be more of a 2016 thing. This is one more thing that I think maybe we talked about at Celebration. 2015 is also the summer of, maybe Mark can confirm, isn't that when Avengers 2 comes out?
Yeah, I think they pushed it back.
By the 4th, yeah.
I heard they pushed it back, though, guys.
Avengers 2.
Yeah, I heard that they were going to push it back because, like, I think where you're going, Joe, is 2015 is going to be unbelievable for movies. It's just going to be crazy, all these big movies that are coming out. Go ahead, Joe, you're going to continue.
Well, I mean, on that same thread, Disney's not going to want two of their largest franchises coming out within, you know, a few months of each other. I mean, they're going to make a ton of money if they do that, but at the same time, they're not going to make as much money. No. They would make more money if they spread those releases out by not only a few months, but at least a season or even two. And Star Wars movies never come out, you know, in the fall or winter or Thanksgiving. It's always a summer tradition. So, if they're going to release, if they haven't moved Avengers back, the sequel, I mean, I can't see them releasing Avengers 2 and Episode 7 in the same summer. That's just like, that's putting all of their hens in one basket, I think. I think they'd want to move one of those movies around. And maybe they moved Avengers, you know.
No, that's a huge point. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I think the report we put on Jedi News notwithstanding, I think it wouldn't surprise me one little bit if they... Think about it, 2017 is the 40th anniversary of Star Wars. 2016 is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, and J.J. directed the first two Treks, so it wouldn't surprise me if J.J. finished off his trilogy, because, you know, he has more than just a directing interest in Trek. He's got a financial interest in Trek as well. So he's kind of, you know, through Pad Robot, he's involved quite deeply in Star Trek, more than people probably realise. So I think that might be what he does with Star Trek. But in terms of Star Wars, I don't think it would harm the franchise at all if they stepped it back 2 years. Like Joe says, you know, they only mentioned 2015 once. That said, you know, Avengers at the moment, as I understand, is set for early May of 2015. But like Matt says, you know, there's so much stuff coming out in that year. It's just the most insane summer you can possibly imagine. You know, you've got Batman versus Superman coming out. You know, yeah. There's all sorts of stuff. Crazy, crazy busy year. So not that Star Wars would be worried by that. I mean, yeah, if they put Avengers at the start of May, they put Star Wars at the start of June, you know, Iron Man made $1 billion in just over 3 weeks. So most films make their big, big, big bucks in the first 3 or 4 weeks. So theoretically, I guess they could do that. But like Joe says, I think they'd be mad to do it. I can see Star Wars stepping back to Thanksgiving. I can see it sort of slotting into that November slot, the Harry Potter... Skyfall came out at that time, the Hobbit movies and all the Lord of the Rings came at that time, and they all did great business. And also, let's not forget, Star Wars is a business, and one of the businesses of Star Wars is to sell lots of toys. Now, if a Star Wars film comes out just before Christmas, it's going to sell a lot of toys. So, you know, there's some logic to it moving back to November. But, my gut tells me that, yeah, I think we're still a few years away from that first film, and 40th anniversary sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I mean, to have these two these two franchises who are owned by Disney in the same year, I think you're right, Joe. I don't know if that they want to do that. And again, I could have sworn I read this on the internet in the last, not that the internet's everything, but obviously, the last week or so that they were talking about pushing Avengers 2 back. And but yeah, I think you're right. Chris, what do you think? I mean, you can't have these two giant franchises in the same year. Does that make any sense?
I think in a way I'm going to have to disagree a little bit, because I can't see why would they announce and already have the date for Celebration 7 in April. And I mean, to me, when I saw that, I was like, okay, that fits perfectly with the movie coming out in May. Now, Thor 2 comes out later this year instead of the summer. This year, which I thought was odd. So maybe that's what they're, you know, if they say Star Wars comes out in May and they push back Avengers 2 to like Thanksgiving or something, that could work, because then you're talking about three months or so, mm-hmm. you know, 4 months, something like that. That would be fine. But as far as all this information coming out, I think that, yeah, they want to give us information. They want to be able to announce things, and they really didn't announce much at Celebration Europe. But they also, I mean, Kathleen has said this as far as if anything gets out, big deal, we'll deal with it. But also, they're not going to rush to tell us something if it's not concrete, I don't think. I think it's just like when it's ready, it's ready. And then they'll announce it. And it might not have been ready yet for Celebration Europe yet, but like you said, the Disney weekends is coming up soon. So, you know,
we'll get some more out of there, yeah.
Yeah, I still think that since they announced Celebration 7 and the date already, I was just kind of surprised that we got an actual date. You know, I was kind of expecting, okay, next Celebration will be in this year. And no date yet, but that to me was kind of surprising to get an ironed out date right off the bat like that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Well, I mean, that just, again, going back to my point, that's the one thing that kind of throws me, is that they did push Celebration to April as opposed to having it later in the summer. So, well, part of me is conflicted. It's like, why would they do that? I mean, why would they move it to April? But, you know, I still don't think they're going to have the movie ready by 2015, or that they want to put Avengers 2 and Episode 7 in the same summer. Those are both summer tentpole films, and yeah. I think they're going to want to spread them out a little bit more. So, yeah, the whole Celebration 7 thing kind of throws me off, too. It's like, why April? But it could be part of something to do with contracts and availability of the convention center in Anaheim. you know, it could be a lot of factors we're not even considering, and maybe they just want to, maybe summer 2015 is when they, at Celebration 7, is when they plan to really kick off the whole Star Wars Episode 7 thing. I mean, maybe that's the year before they really put it in high gear, so.
Well, that, obviously, that was the other big news that came at the end of Celebration Europe was, hey, we're going to Anaheim, and personally, this is fantastic news for me. I mean, I could drive this in just a few hours, so I'm really excited. And this is crazy, and this is why I think I'm going to skew towards kind of what you were saying at the end here, Joe, that maybe having this in Anaheim in April is just primed for this humongous media machine that's going to be Star Wars 7. I mean, you're talking a month. Could be. Let's just say they go with May of 2015. Can you imagine? This celebration is going to be unbelievable, huge, everything you can think of with the Rebels already have been out. We'll get something like that. Maybe we'll get something on a TV show. And, of course, Episode 7. We'll probably get some kind of exclusive footage, a new trailer maybe. Who knows? I mean, this is going to be the celebration to go to since maybe episode, what was that, Celebration 4, I believe, when Episode 3 came out, just before that. So, yeah, this is huge. This celebration is ramping up to be the biggest thing in a long, long time for Celebration. So, Anaheim, any thoughts on that, guys? I mean, I think what we're going to look at, guys, is it's going to be Anaheim and Florida, because you got Disney on both sides there, and maybe it's going to go like that, back and forth. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I think Anaheim's a great choice. Never having been over to the Disney, well, I did briefly about 15 years ago, but only for a day, but it'll be nice to go and visit that just selfishly. But yeah, it makes sense. I mean, like you say, you've got Disney's on both sides of the states. Mm-hmm. I think if it just settled in Orlando, whilst it's a great convention centre and, you know, it logically it's easy to get to from the UK, for example, and I assume from the rest of the states, it would be kind of crazy not to sort of share the two locations between the events. And obviously Star Wars Weekends does the same sort of thing as well. So, I think it's a great place to do it, and I'm looking forward to it. We're already making plans for it. So.
Oh, nice. So I'll definitely see you there.
Oh, you will.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
Good time, Mark. I know you gotta start heading out here. Thank you so much for taking the time and breaking down some of the Celebration 2 news. We always love having you on, your insights. So, anything you want to hit before you go? I know your Caravan of the Force is still going. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah. Obviously, Jedi News for all the latest news. Caravan of the Force. If you want to donate, please do. It's www. As most things are, justgiving.com/. Caravan-of-the-force, lots of hyphens. So go over there and help us reach our target. Always out there on Twitter, always out there on Facebook, you know where I am. And I think this is my 8th time on the show, so I'm looking forward to the 9th.
Oh, I know. We are too, man. We love having you on. All right, Mark, we just got a few more news stories, but we'll let you get going. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Thanks, Joe.
All right.
Bye. Thank you, Mark.
Joe, we just got a couple more stories, and you want to hang around? You got to go.
I can hang around for a little bit. I actually have to run pretty soon myself, but
We can
squeeze in a little bit more.
No problem. I just got a couple more. I wanted to mention, let's go to actually a story that came out on Latino Post. And these guys were kind of in the news a lot because they had claimed they had broken the Harrison Ford is starring in the next Star Wars movie. And not that that was a huge stretch or anything. But they had another post that came out, and it was about, will Luke Skywalker die in Episode 7? And it kind of makes sense because they're talking about the journeys, the journey of Luke, and much like the journey of, let's say, a Qui-Gon, of an Anakin and a Darth Vader, of an Obi-Wan, where you have the character, let's start with Obi-Wan. He comes in Episode 4. He's the old Jedi, the wise Jedi. He comes in and shows Luke what to do, and in that same movie, he passes the torch onto Luke, and he dies, and he becomes one with the Force, much like we saw in the prequels with Qui-Gon. He opens the series up. He's the stoic Jedi who knows everything, not knows everything, but he's the guy you look to, and he ends up dying and passing the torch on. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, Chris, that we could see Luke Skywalker die in Episode 7 and kind of pass the torch on to the new Jedi. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a possibility because, you know, we saw it with Qui-Gon and then also with Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, yeah, it's something that I had thought about from the very beginning anyway. And seeing this story just kind of like, okay, you know. Because, I mean, obviously, this is something that I've thought about right off the bat. Will Luke, will he die in this? And how will it come about? What will be the circumstances and all this? We still got a lot of speculation and things to come. I mean, we don't even know yet anything about any of the other characters. And, I mean, we don't really even know for sure if even Luke's going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he would be. I don't see why he wouldn't. So, but, yeah, you know.
I thought it was it made a lot of sense, obviously, and I would almost actually expect it because I don't expect Luke Skywalker to carry and Mark Hamill to carry this new trilogy, and so I definitely think this is plausible. And like I said, I'm almost expecting that to happen. Joe, any thoughts on this story idea? I mean, is this too easy? You know, of a story idea. I mean, this is
no. I mean, I don't think it's too easy or even too obvious. I mean, you've got. I mean, Star Wars films have always been about repetitive themes that, you know, carry over from one series to the next. And the Star Wars films are like musical compositions. They repeat certain themes and certain melodies in terms of characters and storylines and callbacks. So that's why there's a certain fluidity to the storytelling of the Star Wars saga because of that. So I think, yeah, you know, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility that Luke is basically the Obi-Wan character of the new saga.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know. There's things I can't say. Things I want to say, there's things I can't say. But I mean, just things I've heard at talking with Lucasfilm people at Celebration Europe, things that are just going to be like, you know, yeah, that's really going to blow your minds and things that are just going to be just, you know, unexpected and certain fears that might be kind of laid to the wayside, you know, mm-hmm. So certain fears that I have as a fan, even that I was concerned with that may or, you know, that probably, you know, we may not have to worry about so much with these new films. So, they put a lot of thought into it, and I think with episode 7 we're going to get a lot of Luke Skywalker, I think, from what I understand. So I mean, he's going to be a central part to the story, and it is going to be his continuation, I think, from just from rumors I hear. So if it plays out, if they stick to the story, and you know, if Mark Hamill still comes on board like everyone's hoping, then we're going to see the further story of Luke Skywalker for sure.
Yeah, and it talked about how it hinted at that, you know, the casting call that was put out about young athletic characters, you know, be it male or female, as also kind of hints as to what might happen with Luke in this new trilogy. So, but yeah, like I said, I definitely see that possibility and almost, you know, obviously wouldn't even be surprised to see like that mantle being passed to the new Jedi Order, whoever it's going to be. But yeah, that's interesting stuff. Chris, am I missing anything that came out, or Joe, that you can think of that came out of Celebration 2 or the last month? Any big stories that we're missing? Because I'm trying to think, and I think we kind of covered everything. What am I missing? Anything?
The only other thing to me is the Hasbro or lack of.
Yeah.
In that realm.
Yeah.
You know, they gave us a nice look at San Diego Comic-Con. We got to see the Wave 2 of the 6-inch, which... Me and you both are super excited about that.
And oh, yeah.
We got just a little glimpse of Wave 3. They gave us, like, pictures of 3 different figures, and they didn't even give us the 4th one. So I was extremely disappointed in what they showed. I was expecting to get a little more from Celebration in that area.
Yeah, me too. Like I said earlier with Mark, it was just like, man, I was, you know, we were all looking for, you know, casting announcements and not necessarily a story idea, but just I think we were all just looking for something else, and it never came. So I think this D23 is going to be a realm for them to expand upon, maybe some more interesting nuggets and coming up with this next trilogy. And the Hasbro stuff, yeah, pretty lackluster, but I'm so excited like you were about this new 6-inch series, and I got my first wave. It's supposed to be delivered tomorrow, so I can't wait to dig into that and hopefully get some reviews out there for you guys. But yeah, hey, Joe, anything else that we may have missed that, since you were over there, any story leaks or anything? We kind of covered everything, huh?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, nothing that I can't really comment on publicly. In terms of public story leaks, no, I don't. I think they're saving all their announcements for D23, which, I mean, Star Wars Celebration is, you know, it is a pretty big deal for the Star Wars fan base, but D23 is more of Disney's, it's more of a worldwide, it gets more coverage and more press than a celebration would. Mm-hmm. So I think with D23, that's where they're going to reveal, you know, possibly some of the cast. Maybe even, I've heard rumors that they might even announce the title of episode 7 at D23. Wow. So, I mean, that's a possibility. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have some big announcements at D23, but they're saving it, you know, they're saving it for that event and not, unfortunately, not Celebration. The other reason, you know, because D23 is in California, they have a lot more resources there. They can kind of like, I think one of the reasons why they moved Celebration to Anaheim, at least for the next one, is because they can draw on those resources in terms of like they can have, say, Harrison Ford show up, at Celebration. They can have J.J. Abrams just, you know, drive up the road from L.A. to Anaheim and, you know, they can do that in Anaheim, whereas in Orlando it's a little trickier to pull off. But
right.
I think that's another reason why you might see the focus of the Star Wars news coming out of D23, coming out of Celebration in Anaheim. I think that makes more sense from a strategic standpoint for Disney.
Yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. I this Celebration being in Anaheim, it has a potential to be just unbelievable because, I mean, like you said, you can have cast there, crew there, and, you know, director and all these possibly new footage or exclusive footage that we would only get to see at a Celebration. So, man, it's just the possibilities. It's just like, you know, I'm rubbing my hands together going, yes, I can't wait for this.
Yeah, right.
So that's going to do it, I guess, Chris. We were going to try to hit a topic, but maybe we'll save that for our next show. We're going to talk about some of the bigger contributions that maybe kind of fly under the radar, maybe our most, what I call it, underrated contributions to the Star Wars saga. Some people that maybe you don't think about. As Star Wars fans, we would probably obviously recognize them, but some of the guys that kind of work behind the scenes that maybe need a little more recognition, and we're going to talk about that on our next show, so stay tuned for that. Joe, you still have, like we talked about it earlier, your Slave Princess still available, right? And potentially with the Jeremy Bullock signature, right?
You want to mention that before you go? I knew pretty much going into Celebration because we did pre-orders that ahead of the show through Lucasfilm that the prints weren't going to sell out at the event. I think most of the artists did a limited edition of 250 prints for each of their Celebration Europe exclusive prints. So mine was no different. It was 250. So I came back with some that were unsold at the event, which I took a wait list before I went over to Germany. So I was basically taking people's names for interest if they wanted to contact me, if they wanted to own the print when I got back. So I have been, just this past week, I started selling them publicly to collectors and fans here in the U.S. So, and I do have those 10 copies available of the print that are signed by Boba Fett himself, Jeremy Bullock. So if anyone wants to contact me, they just need to go to joecaroni.com. Basically, they can order the print there. They can email me if they're interested in one of the Jeremy Bullock signed prints. And it's the prints are limited, so they're going quick. But if anyone wants to drop me a line, they can definitely order one.
There you go, joecaroni.com. And Joey, again, thanks for coming on. We love having you on. Talk about your art, but also just breaking down some of the stories in Star Wars. We love to get your take on that, so thanks for coming on. Chris, anything else before we call it a day?
No, nothing other than just our Facebook page, facebook.com/SarlaccPitPodcast, and of course our Twitter page at SarlaccPitCast, and one of our other big pages is Classic Star Wars on Facebook, and then we also have Modern Star Wars. So just stop by and check those pages out, and shoot us any emails or any information that you might have at podcast@galacticbinder.com. And you can go to our podcast page at galacticbinder.com. Just click on the Sarlacc Pit tab, and then there you can see another button that will allow you to leave a voicemail right there on the page, and then we can play that on future episodes.
Definitely don't hesitate to do that. And like I said, stay tuned for our next episode, where we hope to talk about our most underappreciated contributors to the Star Wars saga. So for that, my name is Matt, and for Joe, Mark, and Chris, we thank you for making us part of your Star Wars day, and we will see you next time in the Sarlacc Pit.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us. Always a good time. Always a good time. And if you ever want to spill any secrets, let me know.
The problem is, like, half of them, I don't know if they're...
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.